Hello, I'm Claire Dash, and I'm giving you some quick bites about trauma, the 10 phases of trauma. So today I want to talk to you about procrastination. Procrastination is when we want to get something done and we keep stopping getting that thing done. It could be all kinds of things get in our way. We know at some level we want to get the thing done, but we keep feeling like a cunt. And often it's really murky and it often feels like something that we don't really want to deal with. And when we start to unpack it, we can start to see how trauma has fed to that. So oftentimes in procrastination is the fear of failure. I won't finish writing that essay because I'm not going to do well at it anyway. But we don't really say that to ourselves. We get halfway through that concept and then we kind of stop and we go, oh, well, I'll just go and make myself a cup of coffee or clean the kitchen. You know how this goes. So procrastination is when we are getting stuck, but we're not facing the stuckness. We're just berating ourselves and looping round and round. And I'm saying that this looping round and round is a response to trauma. And if we could go back to the root of it, we could probably find a time when the fear of doing something and getting it wrong created such a response in us that we felt under threat. And this is why I'm saying that procrastination is a trauma response. So let's say a little child was invited to crack the eggs while they were making the cake. And they didn't have the skills to do it. And the eggshell went in the cake mixture and the egg went all over the place and that it was a loss. And maybe they even had a second go and that was a loss. And the parent was getting furious and angry and that the child had got it wrong and the child felt threatened that they had failed. And they didn't ever want to crack eggs again. I can't do it. I'm a failure. I will never learn this. And if that response, that emotional response in that moment was so threatening, and maybe it was even a repeat of another time when the child was physically hurt or deprived of love, that these physical threats to a young child, they dysregulate the body. And when we feel dysregulated, our thinking brain goes offline and we just react. We just do our primitive reactions. So what's happening if we look back at a core moment like that that's traumatizing is the child is setting up a way to cope with something they didn't know how to cope with. So unless the parent repairs an experience like that, the child's going to have to come up with their own experience. Because what makes it trauma is that it's threatening, it's dramatic, and the child doesn't have the resources to cope. Now, maybe they'd been cracking eggs the other week with grandmother making another cake, and grandmother had said, never mind, we'll just keep going and we'll get the egg in there and it's going to be okay. And when the child then makes a mistake with their parent, they've got this resource inside. Grandmother says, it's okay, it's going to be all right. I'm not really a failure. It's just hard to learn how to crack eggs. So that's a good response, and a child won't have trauma if their parent is saying, you've failed me, you've got it all wrong, because they've got something inside that says different, that reminds them it's going to be okay. But if a child doesn't have these resources, and this is often what happens, is that there's nobody there to support us, there's nobody there to guide us. And this is what makes trauma, is that we don't have the resources, so we come up with something. We come up with a rationale to help us shove away that feeling of dysregulation in our body and to find some way to justify that experience. And a child will come up with all kinds of creative means that they've had from their role models or just from within themselves. And it might be that I broke two eggs, therefore I am a failure. And that story, that belief system gets looped around in the body and comes up again and again and again. Maybe you spilt the milk the next day. I'm a failure. If the parent is reinforcing that, it's going to get stuck in us. And that fear of failure, it goes underground. It's not something we can really see. It's not like here in our face. It becomes compartmentalized because it's too painful to cope with on a daily basis. So we grow up with this underlying belief that we're a failure. And so when we set out to write that essay that's due on Friday, there's something in us going, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. I'm terrible at this. I'm a failure. And so instead of facing those words, we just feel that, ooh, feeling, that dysregulated feeling, and we want to push it away by doing something like cleaning the bathroom. So, can you see how procrastination comes from a time in our life when we didn't have the skills to cope? And the beauty of that is that you can do your trauma work. You can begin to look at what's underlying procrastination. What is that belief that's in there that's making us believe that more than getting the thing done that we perhaps really want to get done? And when we can see what's underneath that, we can begin to listen to ourselves. Where did I get that belief from? Why did I think I was a failure? And then we can slowly and gently and compassionately listen to the parts of ourselves who can help us unpack that story. And we can begin to give those resources that we didn't have then to those child parts of us now and tell us we're not a failure. And it's a gentle process and it takes time. But if we keep looping around on procrastination and not really seeing what's behind that, we remain triggered and dysregulated. So I invite you to begin to do your trauma work. Listen to your body, listen to your core beliefs. Notice when you're getting traumatized by old stuff. So procrastination is a symptom of trauma.